Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Kiwi Talks. My guest today is a video game composer who is probably best known for his masterful work on Terminator Resistance, as well as a little bit of work on Robocop Rogue City. I'd like to welcome the great Chris Dietinar. Did I pronounce that right?
Very close. And hi, everybody. Glad to be here. The surname is a bit tricky. How do you
pronounce it exactly?
Dietinar.
Dietinar.
Which is,
okay.
Very close. Yeah. It means child in Ukrainian for some reason. Although I don't have Ukrainian family. I don't know how this happened, but yeah, it just means kid or child for some reason. So that's kind of cool, I guess. Fun fact.
Well, musicians are told they sometimes have childlike wonder, so.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of works.
Yes, it's true. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah,
sure.
yeah. So yeah. One of the things...
You gotta keep curious.
Yeah, you do. One of the things I wanted to ask is how you actually linked up with... is it Taeyeon? Is that how you pronounce it?
Taeyeon, yeah.
Taeyeon. Yeah. How did you actually end up linking up with them?
Yeah. I did a few projects for a guy that was trying to get into the video game industry. So a couple of indie games here and there. And my friend then... the person who I made the music for, ended up working at Taeyeon. And when they were looking for a composer, he kind of put in a word for me and said, hey, I know this guy who's a massive Terminator fan. And he knows that side of me. I watch Terminator 2 when I'm sick. I watch Terminator 1 when I'm just having a Friday afternoon that's free and I don't have to take care of the kids or something. So I think that was kind of the driving factor that they wanted to have an interview with me. And I've already worked on a few soundtracks for indie games that my friend made. So he got me an interview. So I went in, I met with the producers, and I think the reason I got the job was because I've jumped the gun a bit in creating my version of the main theme for the game, which is the legendary soundtrack from Brad Fidel and the Terminator theme. So in the first interview they had with me, they asked, how would you go about making the soundtrack? What are your ideas? Do you have any like experience? So that interview went pretty well. And they've asked me, could you create a sample track of, let's say, the theme for Terminator? And I was kind of, I already did that. Here it is. Wow. That was quick. Because I was just too excited. So I started working on it just when I heard I've gotten invited to an interview. And that track was kind of already very close to what you hear in the game, which is, I think, the menu theme now. So I've read some comments online that people hang around in the menu to just listen to that main theme because it's so beautiful. So kudos to Brad Fidel. It's just a cover that I did. Obviously his song and his composition, but I just think there's something about that melody that just sticks with you. And so that's the kind of long version of how I got the job. Although I should mention that I was the main composer for Terminator Resistance, but there were other people involved in making music. So kudos to Leszek and Kuba, who also worked on the soundtrack. I like to say I was the main composer just because of the number of minutes of music that I've created for the game. And then I guess the Teon guys were quite happy because they've invited me back for to DLCs, which was also a lot of fun to work on.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the cool things that you did with the theme is you kept it very close to Brad Fiedel's original musical palette, I guess you could say that he used, but you included some of your own nuances within it, right? Like, because you're a metal guy and the electric guitar stuff is awesome. Was that always the intent?
I just kind of, when I think of music, I think electric guitar first, because that's my first instrument. And I compose on the electric guitar. I like the heavy, gritty, riffy sounds, when it comes to just your tone. I always go to, Metallica, Pantera, Steve Vai, maybe Dream Theater, that sort of guitar tone. So for me, it was just natural to kind of include something like that. But I was a bit scared, to be honest, because, with something that iconic, you're kind of treading into a territory where, is someone messing with something that's already perfect? And then there's, a fan base, which I'm a part of, by the way, love the Terminator franchise. Obviously, it's massively brilliant. But you're kind of touching something that's not supposed to be touched, and it has a certain nostalgia connected to it, right? People, well, the movies were so massively successful that everybody knows that theme, right? So if you mess it up, the mob might go after you. But I was super lucky to be kind of, I guess, welcomed with open arms, and people liked the guitar in that track, so I was very happy.
So, did you do the T1 version of the theme as well? Was that also you?
For the DLC,
For the
yeah,
DLC?
we
Yeah.
did, the one with the odd time signature. I
Yeah,
forget,
it's like
like 12,
13,
13,
13, 16 or
12,
something.
13 or something. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
very,
yeah.
very weird. And I've actually read up, why is that? And apparently, I might not remember right, but something along the lines of just Brad Fidel not looping the sequencer right,
Yeah.
and it just sounded okay, good. Let's ship it. So that's just one of the things about music, right? It's just, if it sounds good, it's good. You don't have to do the math, right? So it was both for the main version of the game. It was the kind of regular rhythm, Terminator 2 soundtrack redone, and then for the DLCs, it was T1 cover.
Yeah, so did you have a bit of trouble adapting to that time signature? I'm not sure if in your DAW you can actually set it up. So, because you know how with digital audio workstations you can set up the time signature. I don't even know if you can set up 13, 16 on a time signature, depending on what the DAW is. Maybe you can
I
later.
honestly, I don't remember how I did that exactly, but I remember having some trouble. Because I remember having to research, what the hell is this and how do I do this? But I remember that the grid, I was very focused that, yeah, the grid has to be okay. The math has to add up. And I ended up doing it exactly like Brad did, but
Yeah.
it was tricky. It was very tricky. I think I've ended up learning more about how to operate in my DAW anyway. So
Yeah.
yeah, just looking for options,
Because
right?
if I was doing it, I would start with the drum line first, right? The bum bum
Oh,
bum
for
bum
sure.
bum bum
Yeah,
bum bum bum.
dum
Yeah.
dum.
Yeah, and get that down right, and then before you start adding in anything else,
Absolutely. Yeah, that
because that kind of carries the rhythm.
for sure. Yeah, it has to start with the drums, and yeah, well, most songs that are soundtracks, I usually kind of imagine the drums first, especially for video games, because the guys you're doing the game for have a certain idea. You obviously find out what the level's gonna be, what's the vibe, what's gonna happen on screen, right? So I would think about stuff like, oh, is the characters gonna be running away from something? Therefore, that character's heartbeat would be very quick. So I try to kind of replicate that in the theme that's gonna play in that scene. It's kind of, to maybe set the emotion that's going to be correct for that a particular moment in the game. So the drums are the natural way to do that. I guess I for a few tracks, I think I've done this with the guitar, just to palm muted riffs that can also kind of have this kind of beat-like quality to them. And I guess you could do that with bass and synth, but the drums are the easiest way to achieve that.
So, did you get much direction from the director, or were you kind of given free rein to do what you wanted to do, and then they'd maybe just ask you to tweak stuff?
It was kind of implied that we're gonna focus very heavily on recreating the vibe. We're gonna be very faithful to the lore of the game. Taeyong guys are also massive fans. So, and we did have, I don't remember which specific tracks, but we did have licenses to cover quite a few of the actual tracks from the movie. So like the movie has the title of the original soundtrack song is, I think, Escape from Hospital, where it's that T-1000.
T1000.
So it's this kind of ominous, very kind of nerve-wracking, swelly, big, I think I've used like 17 instruments compiled into one just to achieve that swelly sound with guitars and brass and whatever. So it was layers on top of layers just to make it, more scary, more dirty. So we had quite a few tracks licensed so that we were kind of allowed to do covers of them and that it could be used in the game. And the rest had to be like, now we have that. Now the rest has to match that. So they had to be in line with what we had license, but it was actually quite easy to get into that groove because I listened to a lot of Brad Fiedel stuff, and especially for Terminator, there's a certain quality to the low end, like the whole mix is muddy and very synthy, very 80s. So if you listen to a lot of that music, it's kind of very easy to know what you're looking for in your sound. Just tweaking the knobs on a synthesizer and achieving it is a problematic thing, but at least you know what you're looking for, to make it very dark and gritty and scary and muddy and kind of ominous. So that's the sounds that we were looking for to match what we already know is the vibe of the Terminator.
I think there are actually some documentaries around on the actual gear that Brad used. I don't know if you saw them or whatnot, or if you purchased any additional gear to try and emulate
No.
that sound, or did you just use what you had
I
at the
had
time?
to recreate the sounds with
Wow.
what I had. Although I have to say, if we're talking about geeky stuff, I'm happy to share what was used because a big
Yeah.
part of it's like this kind of David Goliath VST plugin situation, because most of that soundtrack was created. Well, the electric guitar, the red one over here, which was plugged in with, I think it was Guitar Rig 5 or something. So the guitar stones are from that. And then the synthy stuff is Omnisphere and Synth 1, legendary Synth 1, which is, the base of everything. So tweaking that little tool was an amazing help. And then a few other stuff came in handy. I think for bass it was Trillion. There was also some stuff that was a bit orchestral, and I think it was Albion One in terms of in virtual instruments. At least those were the main ones. And then for drums, it was there's one song used with an absolute classic. So for anybody who's been composing music on their computer 15 years ago, Drum Kit from Hell was used on on some of those tracks, which was I think it was kind of like a DLC to the original Easy Drummer. That's how old my computer was when I was
Wow.
doing the soundtrack, which is pretty cool. And again, if it sounds good, it's good. Please don't judge the lack of actual gear, but it was fun to try and achieve that. I had no chance purchasing or even finding the actual stuff that Brad Fidel used in terms of synthesizers. Those would be, I guess, unavailable in Poland, first of all. And second of all, if they were available, they would probably be
That'd be
quite
very
expensive.
expensive, yeah.
Like antique kind of stuff. expensive level. So I didn't even look. I just assumed that it's just gonna be out of my price range or availability or whatever. So I just kind of forgot about that immediately.
Well, you did a phenomenal job because I was wondering, I'm like, did he recreate these? Did he buy a sample pack? Did he buy Brad's original synths? I was wondering what you did. And a lot of people, myself included, think that Terminator Resistance, the soundtrack, is the best soundtrack in the Terminator franchise since the original classics. So,
Ah, thank you.
yeah, a
I'm
lot of,
blushing. You're too kind.
well, it's not just me saying it because I went online. I'm like, I wonder what other people think about this because I wanted to make sure I wasn't living in some echo chamber. But yeah,
Thank
and
you.
everybody praises the soundtrack. It's probably one of the most praised aspects of the game as well because music is so important in terms of how you set the tone for a game and a film for that matter. And you did a phenomenal job, you and the other composers. So,
We were quite happy with it. We were just not kind of sure about what the reception's gonna be.
well, you never know with those sort of things, do you?
Well, when I say we didn't know, we were very, very scared. That's what I meant to say. We were.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Kind of sure that I guess, oh, people are gonna hate this. We did our best, but what, I don't know if you have this, you record music as well, but I'm very prone to ear fatigue, so whatever I record myself, if I listen to it, and obviously when you record, you listen to the same thing over and over and over, and you just get so tired of it. So by the time we finished the soundtrack, my ears were very I would say hurting from just those sounds, and I just couldn't. I just had to take a break from the songs. It's not that it is with every single recording that I do. It's just how it works with, I guess, my ears and my brain that I might have a process that's not perfect because maybe I just spent too much time on a single track. Maybe I should give someone the mixing and mastering job and not do it myself. But the Teon guys were actually very helpful to give direction on that. So they've kind of commented on a few tracks like, oh, too much bass here. Maybe we can kind of change a bit of like maybe make the solo here a bit shorter, maybe make it kind of span throughout a longer section of a particular track. Because me coming from this 80s and 90s metal fan vibe, I had a tendency to like maybe overcomplicate the tracks a little bit because the guitar solo has to be epic. And it's like, oh dude, this isn't a rock concert. Let's maybe kind of tone it down a little bit because the character is walking through a wasteland. It's not a rock show, right? So it's like, okay. Yeah, they've been wonderful with giving me directions that way. Yeah, they've been terrific to work with as well. So kudos to them. Music's great. Thank you for loving it. Thank you for the nice comments. But I think the game does a bit more than the music
Well,
itself.
it's the
Obviously, it's a total. Yeah, it's a
total package.
combination of
Yeah.
for sure.
Well, the thing is as well is when you're making music, you have to take into account the sound effects as well, right? Because the sound effects and the music have to work in conjunction with each other, and you don't want phase issues or one kind of dominating too much over the other. So, was that stuff that you had to consider as well?
No, and I was actually very lucky in that sense because there was a separate person who did the sound effects, and because of I think because of how muddy and heavy on the low end the music was, just to kind of recreate those vibes, there wasn't really a lot of clash between the sound effects and the music. So obviously, we did the whole span checks and what's the spectrum of the kilohertz, and we've kind of checked does it actually clash a lot, and we just didn't run into problems. I think it was only a problem in with one particular track when there was like this massive battle in the game, and just too many things were happening all at once. You know, screaming dialogue, lasers, bombs going off, and then a very loud soundtrack. So I think we've only had this issue with one track, but other than that, nothing really.
Was there ever an intent to release the soundtrack on Spotify or do the big soundtrack? Because it's not released anywhere.
No, it's not. I think, and I'm not actually sure about that, but I think that that's the publisher's decision to make. If it was my decision, I'd release it to the entire world.
Well,
And yeah, so for sure. But yeah, obviously there's like copyright stuff and legal stuff and all of
licensing.
that. So, but I do get questions a lot. So yeah, I get private messages every couple of months still like, where can I find the full soundtrack? And I'm like, oh, sorry, don't have it. And yeah, you know, people asking, when is it going to be released? Is it released somewhere else? I can't find it on Spotify. Oh, you know, I've been looking. And I always have to disappoint everybody who's writing to me that, oh, sorry, it's actually not been released to the best of my knowledge. Maybe it has, and I'm just not aware, but I don't think so.
No, the only place that's available is on YouTube, and that's just people who have literally ripped it from the game and just put it
Yeah,
on
I think
YouTube.
so.
So it's not mixed and mastered as you would usually do with an actual album or CD.
But on the other hand, the publisher was nice enough not to take it down, I guess. It's still, I think, on YouTube. I think, yeah, the upload's done, like, you know, all those years ago, still there. Maybe that's the bit we cut out from the podcast, not to give them any ideas. Oh, what the hell, leave it in.
I did want to ask about the specific scene. So there's a bit in the DLC with Kyle Reese, the cutscene, which takes place from the first Terminator film, and you did the synth theme that he does, the din 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 din
Yeah,
din din
oh, that
din
was
din.
that track was the second most fun to work on, after the main theme, I would say. And there's two versions of that,
Yeah, there's two.
Reese and Ally. I think that's the Brad Fiedel title, Reese and Ally. So once we I was tasked with, let's create two. One is gonna be like as close to the original as we possibly can, and then there's this kind of more battle, like themed, more electric guitar, a bit more modern kind of version of it. I don't actually remember which specific part of the game that second one is in, but yeah, but that track was very fun to work with. I remember putting the actual Brad Fiedel track as the main sort of reference track in my Reaper DAW, and then just, you know, second by second listening, oh, what is it he's doing here? Because I couldn't find, like, you know, a transcription of
A
his
transcription.
song, or
So you'd have to do it by ear.
So everything was done by ear except for the main theme, which obviously so many people have already dissected. So that, but that one wasn't that popular, but it was still quite complicated. So I remember, like, vividly pausing every second or two, just saying, oh, what is he doing there? I was just trying to figure out. And then I think I've just figured that, you know what, if this sounds close to that original track to me, and I'm a huge fan, and that's gonna probably sound good to a lot of people who are Terminator fans as well, because I don't know if it's happened to you being a musician as well, but sometimes if you play something by ear, it's your favorite song, whatever. And then 10 years later, you find the official, you know,
Transcription.
transcription or tabs or whatever. And then you're like, oh, I've been playing it wrong for 10 years. And that's the official version of how you should play it. But here's the thing, I think, is you haven't been playing it wrong. If it sounds the same to you, it's right, right? So I think, you know, whatever version of your favorite song you're playing, that's the right version, in a sense.
Well, it sounded great. It sounds right to me. So, and I think no one, I haven't heard of anyone saying, oh, that note's off by one semitone or anything. So
Yeah,
you did a great
it's the
job. And
musicians that would kind of get bothered by stuff like that, I guess. But someone who's just a music fan would just enjoy it, as you should, and that's it, right?
So did you just make the music and then someone else would just assign it to whatever scene, or did you actually get to see video footage of what you were composing to a lot of the time?
It was very professional in that sense. So very often I would get a lot of context information. I would maybe see an early build of the game that I could actually play through as well to see what's actually happening on screen. And I obviously have to match the sound or the music to what's happening on screen. We discussed stuff like how long this track has to be. The developers would obviously anticipate how much time would a certain player spend within one area of the game, and we had to figure out like if because you could te technically beat this level in 20 minutes, but this bit is complicated enough that I'm sure people are just gonna wander around the wasteland for 25 minutes before they get into the story thing. So how do we make music for those 25 minutes that so that it doesn't become annoying? So let's have a 6.5 minute track for this bit, and then for the action bits, maybe a 1.5 minute intense but short song, right? So there was all those types of discussions, and then yeah, we had like a Jira style. It wasn't Jira, but what was it? I think maybe it was Asana or something. So we had like a task list, and every task was a level in the game if it had to have had a custom track to it. Because I think fun fact maybe that I can share about the game, not many tracks were reused in between levels. So it's not a super long game, Terminator Resistance, but we were kind of lucky enough to be able to do something interesting for every level almost. Like yeah, the main theme, and maybe certain enemies would have a theme or something. Like there's one sp particular one that I loved because I got to release my GNT Metal fanboy thing. The tank battle at I think it's like a
Is it the
Not it's
HK
not
or the
it's not the ultimate boss, but it's like very close. But that's where I kind of got approval to go all out with the GNT Metal guitars. Like, yay, fantastic, let's do this. I kind of all remembered all my detuned riffs that I've played throughout the years, or the seventh string riff where you can go really low on the guitar, and kind of that was a nice one.
Was there anything that you wrote that got left off the game that ended up on the cutting room floor? Or did everything that you write for the most part end up in the game?
One track did not make it into the game, but I think it made it into the build, and I think someone ripped it. It was like I remember that it was an a you know the do you know the theme for Stranger Things? It was sort of like the synthy the song that plays in the intro of Stranger Things. If you can't
Vaguely.
remember it now, just check back later. But for anybody listening, if they know that theme, that was kind
Someone
of
will
the
find it. Yeah.
yes.
There are fans that will find it for sure.
Brilliant. Yeah, I wish I knew I would have maybe changed that song a little bit, but I really liked it. I have no idea why they didn't use it, but I think it was a climate match thing. So it was maybe too happy sounding of a track for something that's supposed to be like this kind of release nostalgia, end of the story, credits roll. Kind of a moment in the game or after the game. So only one. I don't know if that's typical or not. Maybe, if you ask other composers, then I would guess they mostly get the stuff right-ish
I think it depends on the
when
director.
if the developers are keen on talking to the composer, then I'm sure it's
Well,
fine.
sometimes the director doesn't actually know what they want, and they might not be able to convey it fully to the composer. So the composer might do it one way, and then the director will be like, no, I don't want anything like that. Don't do that. Which is still not really good advice because all you know is don't do it like this, but you still don't know what
For
they want.
sure, yeah.
So I think it does depend on the director and what they like with communication and how they're able to clearly convey it. Which it sounds like they did a good job with you because for the most part, everything's in there. So.
I think so. We were communicating a lot. So the producer was a uber talented guy who was happy to chat with me, because obviously producers on video games they have a lot of stuff to do, so dealing with a composer is not, something they want to think about every
It's
day.
probably low
But
down the
he
list.
probably very low, yeah. But he was very responsive, and whatever I needed, kind of all questions get answered same day or the next day. We didn't have like a super tight deadline, and I've remember I've, that the music was delivered quite fast before a deadline, even, which doesn't maybe happen that often in video games. You often hear video games have crunch and you have to do something more and extra and sleepless nights and all of that. But it was actually quite smooth in my experience, and yeah, I've ended up doing it in a similar way on RoboCop as well, because I did two tracks for RoboCop. And one thing that I haven't mentioned yet, which was a big part of our kind of comms on the Terminator and RoboCop, was reference tracks, which were massively helpful. Obviously, for Terminator, we had a massive reference, which was Brad Fiedel's soundtrack, but for RoboCop, we didn't really use what was in the Paul Verhoeven film, because if I don't want to spoil the game for you if you haven't played RoboCop, have you?
I've played some of it. I have not played all of it. No, but
All right.
all right. But you can. But you. I know that you wrote two tracks for it, didn't you?
Yeah,
Yeah,
and it was
and they
a
both have
different
lyrics that you
challenge.
wrote. Yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I had to sing it for the real singer to know what I want him to do.
Oh, really?
God, that was god awful. Oh no, I don't have a singing voice.
Did you
It was.
use auto-tune to get your pitch right?
I tried.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Tried, but this maybe is something that people don't believe any musician saying these days, but I've never used auto-tune. And just for RoboCop, those two tracks, I wanted to give the actual singers like a reference version of the track with a lot of disclaimers attached to it, saying, I'm total shit at singing. Just, this is how I want you to just accentuate the words or the syllables or something, because obviously, we have lyrics for the song, etc. So I had to record it, and then I thought like, oh, this is horrible. They're not I have to correct this with some auto-tune type of shit, because they're not gonna get the reference that I want them to get, just because that's how bad of a singer I am. So I ended up playing around with it, but I honestly don't think it made it any better. Just, you can polish a turd
Only
so
so
much,
much,
and
yeah.
so that was one of those things. But luckily for me, for those two RoboCop tracks, it was first of all a different challenge, which was super fun, because that was a soundtrack only instrumental, and for this I got to write a punk rock song and a rock and roll song, or an 80s hair metal song,
Yeah.
which was kind of fun. And then you write lyrics, and then those lyrics have to kind of match what's the story in the game. And again, for people listening, because this has impact on the game's story, spoiler alert. And I guess then you wait 3 seconds for people to either skip forward or something. And now I'll say it, that the two songs are sang by leaders of two rival gangs within the game and their vocalists. So it's them singing about stuff that they kind of, that has to be their persona. What's there's one of them is singing about the drug called Nuke, that's obviously overrunning the city. And the other song is kind of like Motley Crue reference, just 80s hair metal. Just, the reference was make it as 80s hair metal as it possibly can be. So that was actually the easiest song to do, because I've just listened to so much of it. Yeah, the title of that song was, first one was Nuke.
Nuke
The
and
second,
ugly,
yeah,
was it ugly, ugly
Ugly
side?
Side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so those two were kind of fun to do. Yeah.
So what was harder to do, the melody or the lyrics?
I think because I'm not an English native speaker, as you can hear, sorry if I mispronounce
Your
stuff here and there,
English is
but
pretty good. Pretty good. Even though it's not your main language, right? So,
no, I'm Polish, so
yeah.
Polish is my first language, and English is just something I've picked up along the way.
Well, you're very good at
But
it. You're probably better than me.
thank you. No chance. All right. Well, but thank you. That's very nice of you to say. So for me, I think it was kind of even the melody is tricky because I've created not for video games, but just created a lot of music through my entire life. So I kind of have this skewed vision of melodies that I always think like, I think I've used this before, or this sounds too simple. I like progressive stuff. Let's make it too
Yeah.
complicated. So yeah, I think I've actually gotten one comment from Taeyeon on the drum beat from Nuke because I wanted to kind of overcomplicate it. It's a punk song, so I wanted to kind of make the drums as Travis Barker complicated as possible, because Blink 182 obviously has an amazing drummer and it's punk. Obviously, the song in the game, sorry, the song in the game isn't California punk, but if I can kind of smuggle in some irregular beats, then I'd be happy. But if, unfortunately, they've caught on. They've called me out on it. It's like, oh, drums too complicated. Make it simple. All right, fair
Simplify
enough.
it. Yeah. Well, I suppose if it's simple, then it's easier to do as well, I guess. So it makes your job a little bit easier if someone
Well,
asks you to make something to
not if
make.
you've already done
Well,
the
yeah, if you've already
complicated
done
drums.
it, yeah.
Right.
Well, I suppose you can use the complicated drum pattern for something else in the future, maybe. Because it'll still
Perhaps,
be in your vault somewhere, right? So.
for sure, for sure. Yeah, ideas don't get lost. At least I have this. I have a folder, and it's got like 500 files in it, and it's pretty much just me recording myself with my cell phone. Just oh, riff idea, just grab the guitar, just oh, okay, gonna remember that,
Yeah.
and just put it in a folder. I think that's been my kind of process for a very long time. So a few tracks for the Terminator soundtrack and a few others actually came from that folder just because like, oh, I had a nice idea that might match this, and I'll go like
Go back and
search for it. Yeah, go
search
to
it,
that
yeah.
directory and then find it. So very helpful. I rec highly recommend you do that too.
Yeah, I think it's good to keep a vault of everything, even if there's something you don't like and it might not be taking off or going in the direction you want it to go. You can just stick it in the vault and maybe refer to it later and might be able to do something with it at a later time for another project.
Yeah, especially if it's a different instrument, because if I get an idea for a riff on the electric guitar and then I do it and I was like, it's like a cookie cutter riff, it's not interesting, whatever, and then I end up kind of doing this same melody, but I'll do it with a synth. It's like, oh, now it's interesting. You just needed a different instrument, a different sound, but the melody was there, right? So it's like, oh, maybe you just need to find the right instrument and right sound for a melody or for the backing track or for whatever it is.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So you know the DLC. Were you aware that Taeyeon were going to be doing DLC? Like the Infiltrator mode where you play as the T-800. Did you know while you were doing the original score for the main game that that was coming down the pipeline? Or was that
No,
announced later?
not when doing the original the base game, but I found out pretty early, well, before the general public. Like, yay, I
Yeah, yeah,
get
yeah.
news, but
And so immediately you would have been like, okay, well, I'll just do the bum, 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 bum. So would that be just a kick highly modulated? Like, what did you do to achieve that sound?
For the kick, oh God, I don't remember. I think it was one some DLC pack for like an easy drummer thing or something like that, like easy electronics or something. And then I tend to layer stuff on top of each other, so it's kind of maybe three different kicks mixed together with some reverb and then some other effects on it. So I tend to play a lot with effects, and I often find that, 19 times out of 20, I'll create something horrible, but maybe one of those things becomes interesting. It's like, ooh, I can do something with this. And maybe it's something I wouldn't have thought of if I did it like a regular process. Like, yeah, you shouldn't put two kicks together, maybe, or you shouldn't have two basses playing on top of one another because of frequencies and whatnot. And that's 97% of the time that's true. But then you might find something interesting if you do the kind of you put in the time to find that 3%. And yeah, so I think that specific kick was quite a few electronic kicks layered on top of one another with some, electronic effects on them.
Because wouldn't you be able to, if you're layering three kicks, you could possibly EQ some of the kicks if some of the bass was clashing. And so
Yeah,
you could still
you
get some
cut
of the
out a lot of
higher
the low
frequency.
end. You cut out stuff, but then you kind of you so if you have those three, you just on each one you have to identify what is it that I can cut out from this one so that the whole sound doesn't become, flat, weak, whatever. So it has to have the whole kick drum sound, right? So if the first one has an interesting high end, I'll leave that one on this one, and then, well, high, there's no high on the kick drum, but the
I
highest
know what
out
you
of the
mean.
kick drum range, you know what I mean? Yeah, sure. Because then people listening, oh, what the hell is talking about? But just when you do that mix, so obviously, yeah, one method that I really liked back when I was kind of learning the tricks of the trade was that I would fire up an EQ on anything, really. Regardless of the instrument, could be a kick drum, could be a violin or whatever. But I would just make an extra point on my EQ and just make it as high as possible and as thin as possible. And I would just go left and right on the EQ scale just to find the sound that's like bothersome or kind of I don't know, too pitchy. Or something that just makes the ears bleed, something that's off within, like, you can hear the 400 hertz of an electric guitar that's distorted. And if you only hear that, and if you're a musician composer, you can imagine, all right, so if I get the full thing, this is gonna sound like this. And then you can kind of take chunks out of the whole EQ spectrum. But if you take some very tiny bit and it sounds off, like, oh, I don't want that in my sound, just cut that out, like the entire thing. Because you're still gonna be left with a lot of guitar. And that little cutout maybe makes room for something else that's interesting. Maybe on the drums, maybe on the bass, maybe the vocals. But the rule that I had was like cut out as much as possible until it still sounds good, or to the point where it still sounds good and full. But as much EQ frequencies that I can cut out from a single instrument, the better, because then the other instruments get more room within that mix.
That's a really cool trick.
It's very time consuming because you have to like really scour every instrument for a specific frequency that you don't like, but you get more room, and that's the mixing thing. So I don't know, maybe professional mixing engineers, which I'm not, are gonna have my hat for this because like, oh, that's not how you do things. But
Well,
again, I always reverted to the if it sounds
sounds
good, like,
good.
yeah.
I don't think it's a template to this stuff. I mean, every
There isn't,
musical
yeah.
track sounds different because the frequency range is different. There's a whole bunch of different stuff going on musically. So you'd never mix two tracks the same. So
Exactly.
you can't really follow some template like you need to do this, 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 and this, like a checklist. It's just, does it sound good? Does it sound bad? If it's the latter, then fix it.
Yeah. If it passes the car test, if it sounds good in your car, then you probably have an okay mix, I would say. And
Well, what I would do, I'll just be keen to see if you agree, is I would try and mix stuff on really crappy speakers. Because if you can make it sound good on crappy speakers, more often than not, it'll sound good on good speakers anyway.
yeah.
Obviously, with crappy speakers, you're not going to get a lot of the low end, but it does help with some of the mid and highs.
Yeah. Yeah, but then your brain kind of fills in the low end, right? It's kind of what the brain does. It fills out the missing parts a little bit. So yeah, but I mean, I even have I used to do some stuff like test on stuff like this, like earplugs, because again, a lot of gamers will play on stuff like this, and you know, not everybody has their own gaming room, like people have to play in headphones. Maybe they've got family over here, and then it's like loud over here, and you know, people want to kind of escape into this wonderful game somehow. So I
Yeah.
always felt like, you know, I've never been lucky enough to play on super fancy equipment. I've never had like fancy, awesome speakers. Being a music fan, that's always been a problem. But I just had Logitech speakers with maybe not the cheapest, but definitely not mid-range, even something even below that. So for me, it was, let's have it test at a friend's house. I would go to a friend's house, maybe get a couple of beers, and I was like, oh, by the way, can I have 10 minutes on your stereo because I need to check something? And I would have my pen drive, just plug it in and see if it sounds good. If it sounds muddy on his like default setting, because everybody, when they listen to music at home, whatever equipment they have some default setting that they're just not tweaking, because they just play music and it sounds good to them. And if my music then sounds very muddy or too heavy on the low end or something, then I know, oh, okay, so on the average human household equipment sounds wrong, then it means it's mixed wrong. So then I go back and try again and then do this process again, then go back into the car, shit speakers, crappy headphones, check it on everything. The TV that I had at the time of doing the Terminator Resistance soundtrack, I figured like, oh, this is coming out of on PS4, right? So a lot of people are gonna play on this on TV. So the music has to sound good on a TV, which, let's be honest, most people, even if the TV has great speakers, they won't have it placed in the room correctly for audio, or they'll have it too close to the wall and it's gonna vibrate or something. So I always like, okay, so this is gonna be an issue. So I thought about stuff like that as well. And I think I don't remember how many times I've kind of corrected the mixes, but at some point I just said like, I can't do this anymore. I'm probably just gonna make it worse at this point. So I'll just leave it at that. I'll send it to the guys over at Teyon. If they accept it, then that means it's good. They've done a good job sending back some tracks. Maybe do this with this one, maybe do that with this one. But overall, the submissions went very well, and I think the soundtrack works well on every equipment, really.
It
So
does.
I've, yeah, that's, I guess you might call that a mixing success.
Yes, it is. Now, I had a few questions from my community. Maybe you can answer,
Oh,
maybe you
sure.
cannot. We'll see how we go. So this
Ah,
one,
scary.
yeah, okay. So this one is from T-Rex Reximus 359. What IP would you love to work on if you could choose? So if you could work on,
Predator. Oh God, no, that's
oh.
easy. Oh man, any Arnie movie, I would just immediately jump on. There's Arnie on the corner. I don't know if can you see him? That's the T-Rex. Yeah. So anything with Arnie, really, like
That's actually
may
got a real
maybe.
cool soundtrack too.
Yeah,
Predator, the
yeah, yeah.
da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, I love it. And then you could do so much. So many things electronically with that soundtrack, you know, I have two songs in my head that I always want to make covers of and make them like synthy metally or different than what they are. And the first song is the Predator theme, that did what you've just said. And then the second one is Metallica's Creeping Death, which I would love to make like an electronic version of, which is just a horrible thing to do because Metallica fans won't like it. But just to keep focused on the answer to the question, Predator would be my pick any day.
That's actually a really good pick, and I'd love to see someone license out the Predator IP and make a game out of it. You could do a lot of cool things, I think. But yeah,
Yeah.
maybe it's something Taeyong can do.
Th
Who
there's
knows?
there's I wish that would be fantastic. Maybe they're working on it and I just don't know. Who
Maybe
knows?
I should get one of them on the show. Maybe ask them, see what they say.
That's a, then you can tell me. All right, cool. I've recently seen something on YouTube about how they made the because the Predator, the monster in the Predator movie has this like very quiet, like almost froggy sounding sounds that comes out of its mouth. And I don't know who made that sound, but it was that just maybe I won't like share the wrong story, but there was a person who was like a voiceover actor, someone very famous. That person is shown on that YouTube clip, and he would just go into an audition in some theater or something. And I think they were just auditioning people who could make sounds, and they were maybe looking for the sound for that monster. And he was like the only person who said like, "Okay, lower the microphone," and just took it like really close to his face and made that sound. And they that like. I think the director's reaction was, it's completely different from what we were looking for, but they just
It
loved it because
works.
it was, yeah, it just works for that character. So I think if you look at the Predator, how, his skin is slimy and he's like super ugly, he's or one ugly, yeah.
Motherfucker.
So like that sound, which is like froggy, toady, lizardy, something. Just it is a perfect match. I think that was. I might be remembering this wrong, but if you look for it on YouTube, there is a clip of how they came up with his sound effect.
Okay, I'll look into it. Okay, next question is from Marcelo DBZ Music. How do you feel about the forgettable post T2 movie scores? I wouldn't say they're forgettable. I would just say they're not as good as the original two. But that's my opinion. What's yours?
I have a very controversial opinion on every subsequent Terminator film that came out after T2. I love all of them because my opinion is I have the lovely first and second movie. Nothing's gonna happen to them. They've been done. I have them on Blu-ray. Nothing bad is happening to them. And then, if they keep making them, there's at least a chance they'll make a good one, right? So that's the logic I have for the sequels. But yeah.
It's funny.
So, but then, you get to see Arnie in action. That's a nice thing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And
He's getting on now, though. He can't keep
but come
doing
on,
it.
like. Yeah. But there's good bits in all of those movies, like Salvation. I don't really get why Salvation is not getting higher scores. Like I really like Salvation, the one with Christian Bale in it. It was pretty good. And then I think Terminator 3. Yeah, okay, yeah, I know. But the chase scene, the
With the
when
crane.
the yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. To this day, I think this chase scene is one of the best chase scenes of all time in cinema.
It's a
Maybe The
great.
Rock is
So,
also pretty
do
great.
you know
But
that
yeah.
Arnie, he took a pay cut to fund that chase scene because they were going to cut it. It wasn't
Oh,
supposed to be
really?
in the film. Yeah, because he got paid, I think it was 30 million for that role. And I
Oh,
think
right.
he put up like, I think it was 10 million or 8 million or something to make sure that that scene was shot because he wanted to make sure
Wow,
that that
right.
wasn't
And
cut.
what a good choice that was, right? Because it's just tremendous that scene, right? So, yeah. And then what was the latest one was Dark Fate, and I
Fate,
think
yeah.
that was the one
With Sarah
where
Connor.
they got the evil Terminator so right. Like I was actually scared. Like I got my very childlike T-1000 scary vibes, and it like the actor just fit the role perfectly, and his lack of expression and his kind of demeanor was just on point. So I like all of them, unfortunately or fortunately, but
That's all
yeah.
right. I'm sure it's not that controversial. All right, final question. So this is from Grandable Tank 1505. What artists did you idolize growing up? And did they have an influence on your work for both games, RoboCop and Terminator?
Yes, I had quite a few influences. I remember vividly in primary school, very early on in my kind of music idol seeking years, that I had some German rap trio tape. The band was called Tic-Tac-Toe. There used to be a German rap all-female group that rapped in German in language I do not understand. And I remember that one of my friends had Metallica's Black Album, and he didn't know what it was. So we just like, hey, you want to change? Like, yeah, let's exchange these cassettes, because it was, radio cassettes. And then I just came back home, played the Black Album, and the next day I've asked my piano teacher, because I had like a synthesizer, really, not a piano, not a fancy nice piano, but okay. And I've asked her, like, hey, this is the song, like, it's I think it was Sad But True. And I was like, can you play this on the piano? And she like tried to figure it out on the piano. It's like, and like after 15 minutes, she said, yeah, you could, but what's the point? And that was my last piano lesson. So I figured, like, okay, so this is my jam, and I'm gonna listen to that. And if I can kind of smuggle in a nice story that's hopefully a bit heartwarming. There was a band from a very small town in Poland called Mielec, which was called Mr. Polak. It was founded by two brothers, a drummer and a guitarist, a vocalist, who sadly passed away during COVID. But these guys would tour the Podkarpacie region in Poland very frequently, and I would go to all of their shows. So before I went to a proper concert, I would go with my dad to bars and listen to those guys play the drums, guitars, and vocals, and pre-recorded synth. So they would play, some Van Halen stuff. They would play Yngwie Malmsteen. They would play Toto covers, but kind of make them a bit more metal. So they've kind of got me hooked on all of those, 80s classics that they would cover. And then they would have their own kind of catalog. It was my kind of childhood introduction into the world of American rock heavy music through that little band in Poland, Mr. Polak. I say little band because there's just two of them. So not they're not a small band, but that was my kind of first idol, them and Metallica.
Wow, that's a cool story.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to wrap up
Thanks.
there. This has been great to chat. Thank you so much for taking time out and doing this, considering how late it is as well. I hope Tion do a sequel to Terminator, because then
Oh,
you
I
could come
do
back and do the soundtrack. Just saying.
Or Predator, who
Or
knows?
Predator, yeah. Well, hey, I think I have to get some people from Tion on the show. I think I have some serious questions I need to ask them.
All right.
But what are you working on now before we wrap up?
I'm working on changing diapers, and that's the only thing I'm working
Yep.
on right now.
One of
But
the most important jobs in the world. Yeah.
yes, so like I said, we have a 2-month-old, which is taking up all of our time. But there is going to be another project. But like we've said before,
NDAs,
there's
can't talk about it.
NDAs and stuff. Yeah, I'm unfortunately I cannot share.
Yep.
But there's more than one in the kind of sphere of things. So who knows? You might
Watch this space.
need. And we may get to speak again
Yeah,
if I
for
record
sure.
something
Yeah.
again. So hopefully, there's gonna be room for that.
So, if people want to stay up with what you're doing, where's the best place for them to follow you?
There isn't. No, they have to buy the next game. That's just, yeah. I mean, I have like some shitty Facebook page that I never visit, and that's it.
Oh, at least you're
And
honest about it.
because who wants to follow a composer? Come on, you want
Well,
to
hey,
get
some
the music, right?
yeah, composers
Yeah,
do get
no,
followers.
I'm kidding a bit, but no, I really don't have an online presence. It's just, just when you get the game, maybe if the publisher releases the soundtrack to Spotify one day, hey, you'll get it there. But yeah, I think it's just a matter of the developer or the publisher are gonna make an announcement or a
Yeah.
trailer. That's how you find out, really. So yeah, unfortunately, I'm not the best source of news on
That's all
that
right.
stuff.
Well, if people want to comment on your work, they can comment on this interview, give their thoughts, and I suppose you
Oh
can look at
yeah.
those. There's a
That
good
would
way
be
of doing it.
fantastic. Yeah, go
Yeah,
here. Yeah, there we go.
type your comment here. Cool. All right. Well, that is the show, everyone. Make sure you share, like, and subscribe. And until next time, stay safe.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.